Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Al Diaz, author of The Titus Concert, producer of the film Beyond Hope and Transformational Guide, and I also have my co-host, my wonderful co-host, Cindy Holbrook, who is a women's empowerment coach. Visit her website at livefullylovefully.com for inspiration and practical suggestions to live life to the fullest. Today, our topic is, why are we attracted to toxic relationships? First, a couple of announcements. Continue to check back here on Blog Talk Radio on the Rewrite Your Story host page for upcoming shows and co-hosts. Also, go to rewritestory.com for a very special gift we are giving away.
Wow, I met this great guy, and, you know, he's so attractive, and I just love the way he looks at me, and he's, you know, he's got a good job. I can't believe how lucky I am that I found him. And, you know, and we've been dating for a little bit, and sometimes he can really get mad with his children, and I've seen a little bit of a temper. And sometimes I thought that he was a little bit rude to the waiter. And, you know, some of his friends have told me that he can have a really bad temper, but I don't see anything bad with that. And it's like, come on, everybody has a temper. Everybody gets a little bit angry. And you know, why am I, you know, and I know that if I love him so much, I know that I can change him.
I love that, Cindy. So, you know, and I hear where you're coming back with, Cindy. You know, I met this beautiful female. I mean, she's just like drop-dead gorgeous. I mean, phenomenally gorgeous. And I mean, she treats me well, and she cooks for me, and everything else is pretty good in itself. But I do find it kind of interesting, but I kind of overlook it when I see her around her ex, you know. She's always barking at him and yelling at him. And then when she gets her kids back from him, she's always, like, barking orders and telling him what to do. And no matter what he does, everything he does is wrong in her eyes. But you know what? That's her relationship. I'm not even going to consider even that coming into our relationship.
And welcome to today's show, everybody. And today's topic is, why are we attracted to toxic relationships? And, you know, there's always something in there. And so often, before I get into that, you can always join us on the Facebook page, facebook.com/group/ your toxic relationship dance. You can phone in at 713-955-0561. Or you can go over to the Blog Talk Radio page, and there's a chat box that you can chat with Al. So there's different ways that you can communicate with us live during the show. And at any time, please join us on our Facebook page. Al and I are active there, and we would love to support you any way we can. To get back to today's topic is, why are we attracted to toxic relationships? And so often, it's simply because there's something about us that wants to believe that we are different, or that somehow the person isn't going to act the same way towards us that they have other people. One thing that Al and I in our little skit did not mention, I had thought of it afterwards, is the simple fact of how much somebody talks crap about their ex.
Wow, that's true too, and yeah, you know what? Yeah, that is true. And what's interesting now that you said that, what's interesting? Yeah, whenever I've met a new person, I would say 9 out of 10 times that person was talking, and I'm gonna use your word, crap about their ex or their exes. You know, and you know what? Now that wow, that's interesting, Cindy, because that's a telltale sign. You know, if they're always blaming the other person or faulting the other person for whatever's gone on in their life, then that's a big red flag right there.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've said this before. My husband and I, we met each other on one of the first dating websites back in 1997. But what was interesting is one of the things that attracted me to him was one of the questions in the dating website asked, why did your last relationship fail or something like that? And Mike wrote, it didn't fail. We just weren't right for each other. And I wrote, we just grew apart. And so what I wrote attracted Mike, what he wrote attracted me. But you can see both of these, we weren't blaming anybody or anything, and we weren't getting into story. But so many people, whenever you meet somebody, and it's that you're attracted to the toxic relationship because you're thinking that you're different, that your relationship with this person is going to be so much different. And even though people are telling you they have a bad temper or they drink or anything like that, you don't want to see it. And you want to think, well, I'm so good and I'm so special, this person will change. But if you're wanting the other person to change from the get-go, or you believe that this person is going to be different with you than somebody else, you know, that's just like, you know, the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. And I'm not saying that you're insane, you know, by doing this. What I'm saying is if you're thinking that this other person's going to change for you, a realistic thought, because this person continues to do the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, because this person hasn't healed within themselves to stop drinking or to behave nicely or to stop blaming everybody for everything else. You know, Brian Tracy says blame is the root cause of every negative emotion. And I think that's so, so, so true.
You know, and I believe we kind of dealt with this topic in an earlier show, but I'm going to bring it up now. And so my question is, and I've guilty as this before, I've done this before, why do we ignore the red flags, especially the ones that are immediately available to us at the beginning of a relationship? And again, the example that I gave, you know, and it didn't actually happen to me, but I've seen this, you know, but I've been around other couples and I've seen it when the ex barks at their former spouse.
Yes.
and they're just like yelling at them, you know, and it goes both ways. Either the guy's yelling at the female or the female's yelling at the guy. And mm-hmm. out of nowhere, you know, or they mishandle the kids, you know, when they're, you know, they're dropping off the kids. I mean, that's an obvious red flag. And I would say most couples mm-hmm. or most new couples, when they see that, they just think, okay, that's them, it's not us. But in reality,
exactly.
You know, you're inheriting that. You're inheriting that exchange that you see. Eventually, that's going to become you and that other person. Because if they're barking at their ex, you know, for whatever reason, even if they hate them, if they're barking at the ex, you know, what's gonna take when you're in that current relationship, that person gets angry with you and all starts hating on you, and you're gonna be treated that way. So I guess going back to my original question is, why do we ignore the red flags when they're so obvious?
Yeah, and again, that's what's the attracted, especially, you know, I believe sort of two ways, okay. And I think it's sort of a little bit the difference between the way a lot of men and women think. I think with the woman, they think, I am such a good person and I'm so cool and I know that I can change him. And it's not a conscious thought, okay? But you're thinking, this person, he's not going to act this way with me because I'm such a good person, and I am better than that other woman. I mean, as women, we're very competitive with, hey, I'm better than that other woman. I'm prettier, I'm nicer, I'm smarter, I'm a better cook. I don't care what it is. And we compare ourselves to other women. But men, whenever they see that, we're like, oh, her ex just didn't take care of her good enough. He didn't provide for her good enough. So I am a good provider, and I'm going to take care of all of her, you know, I'm going to take care of her needs. So there's no way that she would yell at me. Like she's yelling at her ex-husband because he didn't pay child support. Well, I can understand that. Hey, I'd be mad too if he wasn't paying child support. And so I can understand that, but I'm going to take care of her because we're both taking care of each other, but in different ways. Women think that women want to take care of men in this emotionally based, that, oh, I'm going to love him so much, and I'm going to just, you know, put him in this cocoon of my love, and he's not going to have this temper with me, or he's going to behave nice. He's not going to cheat on me like he cheated on everybody else. Whatever it is, you wrap it, you know, you just want to ignore it, even though the signs are glaring in your face. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not the small warning bell. It's like something that's 2 inches in front of your nose with lights, you know, flashing, screaming, you know, pointing, warning, 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 warning. But we're like, oh, I, you know, this ain't going to happen to me. And with men, they sort of, to take care of the woman, they want to, oh, I'm going to wrap her in my love, and I'm going to support her and take care of her, and she's not going to have to worry about anything because I can just give her anything that she needs.
You know, go ahead.
You go ahead.
So, and I was, as I was listening to you, then, you know, what it comes down to, if there are red flags, or you think you can change the other person, or you ignore whatever's going on in front of you, or you look the other way, and again, as I said, changing the other person, that I believe now, as I was listening to you, is it comes down to your own self-worth, your own self-esteem, and self-care, self-love, because if you truly desire to have an optimal relationship, then you're going to take care of yourself and make sure that the relationship is going to provide for you and take care of you. Not that the other person is going to take care of you, but mm-hmm. that the relationship, here we go, that the relationship is going to nurture you, and rather than be a distraction and deal with toxicity, I can't even pronounce it right now. But and so I think that's what it comes down to, is your own self-worth. Because if you're willing to put up with something or look the other way, knowing full well, at least innately, that eventually it's going to become an issue or problem, then what does that say about you? You know, and if you're thinking that you can change the other person, what does that say about you? Why would you want to get involved in a relationship where you feel that you have to change the other person? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And I, you know, and it's like an ego trip. I don't even know so much, you know, with self-worth or self-love. Definitely the more love you have for yourself and the more evolved you are, the more you're going to see these things and you're going to say, hey, I'm not going to put up with this. But I believe that as humans, we all innately have this weird belief that could never happen to me. You know, I go back to when my daughter was 16 and she first got her driver's license. I overheard her and her girlfriend just laughing their heads off because she had accidentally ran a red light. And she thought it was as hell that she ran a red light, okay? And her girlfriend are laughing, laughing, laughing. Amy had a little cousin who was 5 years old, 4 or 5, I forget how, you know, how much younger her little cousin is than her. And this was, Amy used to like to take her cousin everywhere. Maybe she was even younger. Maybe she was about 3. But she used to like, you know, say, hey, this is my baby girl. And so she was, her cousin was in the car with her a lot. And so I told her, I said, Amy, how would you feel if you accidentally ran a red light, got into an accident and killed Leona? And Amy said, that was such a mean thing to say, Mom. I mean, Amy, she was really upset. Amy went so far as to go and tell one of her teachers the next day at school. And Amy came home and said, my teacher said that that was a mean thing to say, and you shouldn't have said that. And I said, Amy, that's reality. It's realistic. Don't think it can't happen to you, because anything can happen to you. And I remember my father used to tell me, as far as driving, the second you think that you're such a good driver that you cannot have a car accident is whenever you're going to have a car accident. And so I think that in relationships, we put blinders on. This is never going to happen to me. This person is not going to treat me the same way. But also looking at yourself with what are you bringing into it? If, you know, wherever you go, you take yourself. And how often have you left a job for a better job to find out that it's the same crap, you're putting up with the same crap that you dealt with in the previous job? Or you move from one neighborhood to another neighborhood, and all of a sudden you're putting up with the same type of terrible neighbors that you were with before. And it's so we want to think that by moving or by doing something that it's going to be better or that it's not going to happen to us. And I think it goes deeper than the self-love. It's like waking up and saying, anything can happen to me. I'm not beyond getting into a car accident. I'm not beyond getting into a toxic relationship. I'm not perfect. I can't change anybody else. The only person I can change is me. And just realizing stuff happens to all of us. I mean, you know, a couple of years ago, my son broke his neck. I mean, you talk about an eye-opener. That was like... you really think, wow, that type of stuff just doesn't happen to me, you know. And it was a horrible time that I went through when he broke his neck. But stuff happens to you regardless what you do, you can't protect yourself. But whenever it comes to romantic relationships, we don't want to think this bad stuff can happen to us, or we want to think that we are so much better that they're not going to be the same. Also, in toxic relationships, people they stay the same, but people that want to put you up on a pedestal don't see it. You know, I forget what I've been calling per se. I've been trying to think of another name to call the woman that Earl had the mental affair with. But she was such an intricate part of our lives, and she was over at our house so much. But she had actually had Earl up on this pedestal. Earl was this perfect man that could do no wrong, right? And one of the last times she was at my house, Earl went off in one of his rages. And she was shaking. She was literally shaking. And she was like, what's wrong with Earl? I have never seen Earl this way. And I was like, oh, that's the way he is all the time. Okay. But she did not want to see the bad in him because she has put him up on a pedestal. So whenever we first get into these relationships, even though we see them, we're not really seeing them for what they are because we have them up on this pedestal thinking that they're the perfect relationship for us, and that's why we're attracted to them.
You know, and again, as I was listening to you, something else came to mind here. So if we think that that's never going to happen to me, and I'm talking about relationships-wise, and then that to me comes across as sounding as ego driven.
Yes.
And if that's the case, then that's a whole another set of stuff that you got to work on, because if for those that function from the ego, and then you're in for a rude awakening, because what eventually is going to happen is you're going to get on a roller coaster ride, because your ego is going to convince you that will never happen to me. And then when it does happen, you're going to say, well, that was a one-shot deal. It'll never happen again. And then everything's going to be good. So you're going to be on the peak again. And then when it happens the second time, you're going to go, oh, wow, I can't believe this is happening to me. Then everything works out. You're on your peak again. And then when the third time happens, you go, wow, this is really happening to me again. So
exactly.
So if it's ego-driven, you're in for a roller coaster. And so whether it's self-worth or ego-driven, you know, and I think those go hand in hand. But either way, you're going to get on a roller coaster. And going back to our topic, why are we attracted to toxic relationships? Then again, if it's not self-worth, and if it is ego-driven that you ignore the red flags, then you're setting yourself up. And then you have to look innately or inward and figure out, you know, if it's self-worth or ego-driven, why are you putting up with this? Why are you allowing these kind of scenarios to keep repeating themselves? And again, unless you're on your first relationship and it's your first toxic one, but I have a feeling that if you reflect back to your teenage years in high school, you might have had a toxic relationship, and it's just this, it's the same repeated pattern that you've been doing ever since you were a teenager, if not earlier.
And so often, exactly. And then too, it's like, what were your parents like? You know, I've talked before about Earl's brother and his wife. They used to beat the holy crap out of each other. I mean, they were definitely a toxic relationship. And one time, through a series of events, they were watching my children. Their children were 3 and 4, and mine were 5 and 6. And they got into a heated argument where they were beating, literally, physically beating the crap out of each other. And to this day, my children remember that because it terrified them. Earl and I did not beat the crap out of each other. So my children were terrified, being 5 and 6 years old, of watching this. Their children, only 3 and 4 years old, were sitting there watching cartoons, laughing at cartoons, acting as if nothing was going on. And because this is the way they were raised, they grew up thinking that this is the way a typical relationship worked. And I'm not saying my kids, they weren't scarred either. I mean, we were all scarred in one way or another. Because, you know, my kids, hey, they've both had their yelling matches like what Earl and I had. And what's interesting, too, I have known people who their parents have shut down. And just because you're quiet and you're not yelling and screaming at each other, just because you're not beating the crap out of each other, doesn't mean it's a toxic relationship. Because the silent giving somebody the silent treatment is just as toxic as yelling and screaming at somebody. And so, you know, if you're a screamer and all of a sudden you start dating somebody that's a silent treatment thing, at first you might mistake that as somebody being cool, calm, and collect, whenever really that silent treatment is just as toxic. And know that the way that somebody is treating other people is who they are, and eventually they're going to treat you that way.
Okay, so you just brought up another interesting thing, and we're down to the last 8 minutes, so and we probably could talk about this for about an hour. But here's what if you're not into drama, and what if you're not into yelling, and what if let's go a little deeper. Let's say you're not into confrontation or you know, whatever. But basically, you're not into yelling, you're not into drama. And you start giving the other person the silent treatment because you just don't want to get into it. You ignore it and walk away, and for the next day or so, you know, you ignore that other person. Is that still you know what, it is toxic. I just answered my own question.
it's definitely very toxic, because if you look at what is toxic, toxic is, I believe, toxic is really toxic is whenever somebody is doing something that's going to harm or attack the other person. And if you're giving somebody the silent treatment, a lot of times you're acting like a snobbish little bitch, giving the person the silent treatment, like, you know, you'll cross your arms and like, well, I'm just not going to say the same thing. Or a woman that withholds sex, well, I'm not going to have sex with you until you apologize. I mean, you're doing something because you're pissed off and you want the other person to pay. Well, I'll show you. I'm just not going to talk to you. I'll show you. I'm not going to give you sex. And also toxic is, you know, you say and do things about the people they love. You talk about their kids or their mother, or, you know, you say things that are definitely hurtful to the other person. So that's what toxic is whenever it's toxic, and it's our, the dance, or the name of our show, Your Toxic Relationship Dance. So what it is you ignore toxicity that they have with other people and other relationships, thinking that you are going to have a new dance with them. But you're taking your own self and you're taking their self. And at the very beginning, if you overlook things, oh, their temper's okay, oh, it's okay that she's yelling at her ex or whatever, you know, oh, it's okay that she's being quiet, whatever it is, if you take that and you ignore it at first, thinking that it's just something little, it's these little things that blow up. So it's really about self-discovery of what makes you tick. And whenever you start this dance, the dance is going to evolve. The dance starts out slow and romantic and loving. And it's like, hey, you missed a step. That's okay. You stepped on my toe. That's okay. You know, because we're all cocooned in the love, in the slow dance. And then all of a sudden, this dance gets heated, and it starts where you're not even embracing each other in the dance anymore. You're on separate ends of the dance floor, and you're both trying to dance harder and better than the other person. So you start out together, but when the more toxic it becomes, the relationship becomes so separate that you can't even find your way back to each other because you're too in tuned with what you're doing and the steps you're taking to even think about what the other person's doing.
So, and so and we're about to get to the end of the show here. So from my point of view, it's good to have compassion. It's good to have understanding. When you see another person doing something that you don't innately agree with. On the flip side of that, though, in order to take care of yourself, I strongly suggest that you don't ignore the red flags. If there's something,
yes.
If there's a habit, if you see something that the other person does or did or do, in other words, like I said, you know, there's they're giving the kids are going from one parent to the next, and all they're doing is barking at each other, which is very common. And it, you know, why would you want to get involved with a relationship when your soon to be significant other is already barking at the ex? And again, there could be reasons behind it, but you know, if it's a common thing, then you need to ask yourself, you know, why am I going to get involved with that? And here's the thing, even if that person doesn't treat you that way, you're going to be dealing with that experience with the ex all the time. Why would you want to go through that? You know, and even though that toxic relationship is not directly coming at you, indirectly it's going to affect you because you're going to have to live with that. So, again, if you ignore the red flags, then there's something about you, whether it's ego-driven, whether it's self-worth, self-love, self-care, whatever. You need to figure out why you're avoiding or ignoring the red flags. And then it's up to you what you're going to do. And they happen instantaneously. You will know within the first week to month what's going on. You know, and it could be very something minute, you know, like Cindy said earlier, the person lost their temper, you know, out of the blue. They've been nice to you for 2 weeks, and all of a sudden, boom. There's a temper there. Well, you need to address that because it's not going to go away overnight. Or if it's a drinking situation, the person hasn't drank for 3 weeks, and all of a sudden he goes on a binge. You know, you need to consider that, okay? This guy likes to go on a binge every 3 weeks. There's red flags for you to consider and look at to make an informed decision of whether or not to keep staying involved in that relationship.
Exactly. And I think, you know, that's it. We are attracted to toxic relationships, I think, typically because there's something about us that needs to heal and grow. So, I mean, the really simple answer to why we are attracted to toxic relationships is something to do with us, whether, as you said a second ago, whether it's our ego or whether it's a self-love thing. And it could be, you know, with self-love. If you don't, you know, it's your self-value. But it could also be sort of like an ego challenge towards yourself. Well, I can change this other person. My sister, she's been married, I think, 6 or 7 times. And I know one of the gentlemen that she married was 100% convinced that he was so good for her that she would never divorce him. And you think he was her fourth, I think he was her fourth marriage. And it's like, you know, you have to look at the other person's past and really ask yourself, how much healing has this person done? Has this person really healed from their past to move on? Or are they still stuck in some sort of victim mode trying to find something? So if you look at yourself, but also look at the other person and look at them with open eyes, and especially listen to what other people are telling you. Because whenever you first start a relationship, your friends and your family are more open about it. And you can even ask them, what do you think about this person? And if you're getting the same answer from everybody, then you should take a step back and look and see, what am I missing? What is everybody else seeing that I am missing? And if the person seems too good to be true, you have to step back again and ask, what am I missing? Because there's no perfect person on earth, not even you, Al.
Great stuff, Cindy. And again, Cindy Holbrook, the Women's Empowerment Coach. Visit livefullylovefully.com for inspiration and practical suggestions to live life to the fullest. Have you had enough of what you're going through? Contact me and let's rewrite your story from existing pain to purpose that allows you to have the life you truly desire. My email address is al.diasforlove@gmail.com. And remember, every Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific, listen to this program and share the link with the world. It's where the best possible wisdom and special guests that we have. Thank you all for joining us. Remember that everything in our past, present, and future is for our best and highest good. Wherever you are at, have a great day and wonderful evening. Cindy, you rock as usual.
And you rock, and big love to our audience. And we'll talk to you next week. And we're going to be doing a challenge in a couple weeks. So stay tuned on the Facebook page.
Have a great day.